5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. And guess what, hooligans? It's Top Text Tuesday today. Yes. Top Text Tuesday. And I'm challenging you guys because I have two guys that could win the $50 gift certificate today. Dixon and B-Rat. Those guys have each won two of these contests. Yes, and Dixon's like, I'm coming for the throne. I gotta admit, Angel, he's the arch nemesis of the show, but would you agree that he's the strongest hooligan texter? He's gotta be. His text game is strong.
He might be your most loyal supporter.
Oh, no question. He loves to hate me, though. It's like Batman and Joker. I'm obviously Batman.
You complete each other.
Yes, we have to have each other. He is obviously Joker. But maybe the Joaquin Phoenix version of the Joker. Maybe.
Is that your favorite?
No. It's just like, he's not the cool one. Did you like that movie, Joker?
I did.
You did?
It's very unsettling.
It's unsettling. Don't get me started. Because they're going to do a sequel to it?
Yes.
What's that going to be? It's like
a musical.
50-year-old dude. It's a musical?
Mm-hmm. With Lady Gaga.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're not serious.
I'm serious.
It's a musical with Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
And Joaquin Phoenix is the Joker?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing here? This is so stupid.
Creativity.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, last night I wanted to watch something like that because the Nuggets were terrible. I got a lot of thoughts on that and how Nikola Jokic is being used right now. He's not a point guard. We can't just turn him into a point guard. Got to put him in positions to start the play to score. So a lot of issues with last night's game. I'm going to talk to Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. That Monday night game, your future headline almost, I mean, for a second, it looked like it was going to come true.
Yeah, we had our headline yesterday that Mac Jones was going to get zapped out of New England, and for about two quarters there, it looked like it was coming true.
And New England's done with, like, the fans are done with Mac Jones.
I think the fans are done with Mac, and I think the coaches have no idea what they're doing.
No. Is Mac healthy, though? Is he fully healthy? He didn't look right.
He did not look right. I don't think he's fully healthy. He might, it might just be a mental hurdle he's trying to get past of, putting weight on that ankle or moving around, which he's not, super elusive, but when you see the backup come in and just two touchdown drives and that crazy 30-yard pass that he had, the fans are cheering. Like, I felt this in Miami a couple years ago with Tua and Fitzpatrick, and it's kind of similar with that. Like, this is the guy, but the fans want this guy, and the coaches are trying to do the right thing, and it's weird.
It's weird, yeah. So now the Patriots are, 3-4? I think Chicago's now 3-4. Chicago? I mean,
Chicago has the same record as the Bucks.
Which, dude, what a weird weekend. I'll tell you this, like, as miserable as Broncos fans are today, who do you think's more miserable, Tampa Bay fans or Green Bay fans? Because their expectations, I mean, I know we had big expectations here, but I think we also had that side conversation of, but this is the first year, so if it's not playoffs or bust this year, okay, maybe next year. Green Bay and Tampa Bay, though, I mean, that looks bad. Aaron Rodgers looks bad. Tom Brady looks bad.
Yeah, they look, you don't want to say it's age because that's the easy excuse. It's just the teams around them don't look complete. They don't look on the same page, and you can only lean on a veteran quarterback like that so much before their weaknesses start to get exposed.
Are we seeing, the tarnishing of a legacy for Tom Brady? Aaron Rodgers is different. I think he's a different beast. He's going to go down, and he'll be he's a Hall of Famer, but he's also going to go down as, he's really, some would say, insightful, some would say just strange. He's got a different legacy. Brady's legacy is the GOAT. Like, the great one. Is it hurting his legacy right now?
I think it is a little bit. It might end up being his career went out with a whimper.
Like Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he was great when he was at his peak and winning Super Bowls and breaking records. And in his last couple years, he wasn't that great.
No.
And I think back to, Peyton Manning's last year where, he got hurt, but he still wasn't great.
And
that
he at
last
least
year.
Won a Super. He went out with a Super Bowl. And,
yeah.
And again, Manning's thing was, and I've said this a lot on the show, is Manning was still his brain was still top notch as far as how to get the offensive line to block in a certain way, audibling at the line of scrimmage, controlling where the runs would go, shifting the line enough. I mean, it was kind of magical. That Chargers game that he came in the second half, Broncos needed to beat the Chargers in the regular season finale to secure the first round bye and home field advantage throughout the playoffs, which turned out to be pretty big. And Brock Osweiler was benched at halftime. Manning comes in, and he still didn't look right as far as throwing the ball, but it was his audibling that got the Broncos into position to ultimately win that game. So Manning obviously went out on top, but just kind of strange with Brady. And is this rumor true? Because you're seeing a bunch of GIFs and memes last week that Brady said, I left my family for this. Well, now I'm hearing and reading that he actually did say that in the locker room, something along those lines at the end of the game against Carolina.
Wow.
I don't know if it's true. I heard it several times, and I haven't read it in any of the main outlets, which is why I kind of hesitate. But this is, Tom should have just stayed retired. I mean, I get it. You think you got the team, the defense is there, you like the weapons on offense, but the way this all went down, he retired and then he came, within 30 days, announced he's coming back. Obviously, that's caused a rough situation between him and his wife, Giselle, with the family and everything. And then to lose to Carolina like that. I mean, Carolina was the most obvious team we said was tanking at this point right now, correct?
Yep.
I mean, they shipped everybody away. Christian McCaffrey was the face of their organization for a while. Even though he was hurt a lot, he was the face of the organization. And you move him away, and you're thinking, okay, Carolina's phoning it in. Holyoke, with Tom Brady, are we seeing the happy wife, happy life theory? Interesting.
I'm not married, so I can't speak to that.
I mean, dude, if the wife's upset with you and you go off to work, to me anyway, like, that's what you're thinking about. Like, that's what you're worried about throughout the day. How do I make this right? Oh, my goodness. It's hard to focus on what your tasks are that day. I can't imagine. I mean, he's going through something right now. He's going through a lot of personal stuff. Dude, it's been weird for Tom Brady ever since he started this year. We go back into training camp, into the preseason. He's just gone for like a week or two. And Bowles doesn't know, like, he doesn't say where he is and doesn't really give an exact time frame. I mean, it was a weird deal.
He misses practice on Wednesdays now.
And then he goes to Robert Kraft's retirement party on a Friday, isn't a part of the walkthrough the next day. Like, that, those are really weird things to have happen. You know, a walkthrough. Like, who's the quarterback in the walkthrough? I mean, that's what it's your final preparation or whatever for the next game. And I don't know, is it more important than any practice throughout the week? Probably not. You always kind of hear the walkthrough is the walkthrough. But that's when you're putting the final touches on whatever the game plan is. And so that's been a weird situation. Aaron Rodgers. Is Nathaniel Hackett not being there hurting Aaron Rodgers? I mean, as bad as we're seeing here, it's hard to think that, but
it is hard to think.
It's a weird coincidence.
We haven't been impressed by Hackett, and I think it's a combination of that, and I think losing a guy like Devontae Adams, you talk about what happened with KC losing Tyreek, losing a guy like that hurts your team because defenses don't have to scheme against him, and you lose a reliable target, and he's struggling to find that guy that can catch the ball.
And he's also missing open throws, though, too. I mean,
team is just off.
No, and he gets onto his receivers, and you know that you got the video of him looking at LaFleur and saying, what the F are we doing? It's also like, what the F are you doing? I mean, you've missed some wide open guys.
You can make audibles, Aaron.
Yeah, and just the one he threw, like a low pass or whatever, is a comeback route to a running back. He had a wide receiver go over the top, which looked like that was the play design, and just missed him. So for as bad as things are in Denver, and don't get me wrong, they are bad. It is the worst. Like I said yesterday, this is the worst I've ever seen in a 7-game sample. This is the worst Denver Broncos team I've ever seen on the offensive side. Defense, they're right up there. This isn't the no-fly zone defense, but they're really good. You know, the no-fly zone defense was not only making stops, but they were scoring. They were getting touchdowns. This defense is just very good. They're not really getting a lot of those game-changing turnovers, obviously, because here we sit. And now we get Sunday morning football. The Broncos are in London. They're there. I mean, they left yesterday.
Out there this morning.
And that game's at 7:30?
Yeah.
Great. So if it's a loss, it'll ruin the entire day rather than just half of it. Fantastic.
All day to think about it.
This is going to be rough. I just don't know what to expect. Is Russ playing? I mean, there's a chance he could still go, right?
There's a chance. Obviously, no reports have come out. We'll get the injury reports probably today when they have practice. But I just saw this. The Broncos are getting flexed out of all of their primetime games.
Of course.
Which they only have, like, what, the Sunday night against the Chiefs? And then this London game and the Christmas game are not primetime, but they're the only ones on.
Wow.
So
that's how bad it is, man. And it's not just the losses. It's the way they're losing. I mean, they're not scoring points. We watch football to see touchdowns, and that's not going to move the needle. It's just not. And where do you start? I mean, I'm listening to Nathaniel Hackett yesterday in a couple of his interviews, and it's just more of the same. I mean, he was asked about what he thought of the offensive line. He said, oh, they've been doing a good job. He was asked about guys performing on the offensive side. He says, as a whole, it's bad, but then when you ask him individual questions, he's like, oh, it's good. So then it's like, what do you actually think is bad? And is it Russell Wilson? Or is Nathaniel Hackett not putting Russell Wilson in the in the correct situations? And listen, a lot of us just thought Russ can be Russ no matter what. He's a great quarterback. He's going to figure it out. I don't know where he is anymore. I don't know if he's, Manning you could plug in, and that guy would plug his philosophy into whatever the offense is. Tom Brady, this year kind of excluded, still a good enough quarterback where you could put him anywhere. Russell Wilson, we're learning that, hey, maybe it was more Pete Carroll. More of what Seattle did. And that's what I'm doing if I'm Hackett. Stop the heck with watching film of this crap fest we've seen the last few weeks. Look back at what he did in Seattle and what worked. That's where I think this team should go. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Is this it for Hackett? So we carry the Broncos games, right? And you guys know the outlet that puts those Broncos games on. That's the Bronco station, right? Well, when you start seeing, and I've reached out, we're going to try to get some insiders on. When you start seeing their insiders say things like, there is a possibility that he could be gone midseason. I mean, that's when you know it's getting rough because they're partners, right? They're partners with each other. And so they can be critical. I've been on that station. You can be critical. You're told to be critical. But you have to be careful. You got to be fair, right? Well, now we're hearing even some of those insiders saying things like, yeah, I mean, I suppose it's possible. I actually, Angel, I brought it up when I was down there. I was kind of laughed out of the studio. I said, well, what if you're 2-5? You're 2-6 going into the bye. And then it was, well, maybe, but that ain't going to happen. It's happening. You could be 2-6. I predicted this team would be 6-2 before the bye week.
If they were 2-6 with competitive football, maybe not.
Like if you're losing 28-23 or something.
Yeah, if you're losing on field goals or something like that. But it's just what we're seeing on the field is not good enough.
Well, you're seeing it on defense, but we don't talk about defense unless they're game changing, right? We don't, unless you have a nickname, we just don't do it. And whether that's fair or unfair, whatever, we don't sit here and go, 50% of this team is actually the best in the league. Like one of the best in the league. We don't talk about that. Because the name of the game is quarterback, coach, points, and if you can't do that, everything else is secondary, even if you have a good one. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It is Top Text Tuesday today. Winner today gets a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill, my go-to. But Dixon and B-Rad are the two guys that could get in the thick of things for the $50 gift certificate today. So, Hooligans, make sure that doesn't happen. All right, Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night. It was a rough go. I was way off. I thought the Patriots would do something here, whether it was Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi or what. But it was Justin Fields making the plays. He threw for 179 yards and a touchdown. He also ran the ball for 82 yards. And again, every time I watch one of these young guys maybe start to figure it out, I think, did the Broncos miss out on another opportunity? Now, they have Patrick Surtain over Justin Fields, and I love Patrick Surtain. But we all know this game is about quarterbacks, and if you don't find a young guy that you can grow with, you better find one in free agency or whatever. And right now, it's not looking good, and I think Broncos country's kind of thinking, should we have just taken more time to try to develop a young quarterback? The bad was Mac Jones. I don't know if he's still hurt or what, but he, you know, is a rough go for the first few possessions. Then he starts driving down the field a little bit, throws a pick, though. Who was that who got that pick? One-handed catch, too. Heck of a play. Patriots lose 33-14. The ugly was the Nuggets last night. Oh, my goodness. Against Portland, I thought this was going to be a fun game. And they get absolutely blown out, especially in that third period. They were outscored in the third 44-25. They lose 135-110. And part of the ugly, Nikola Jokic had 9 points. He had 9 boards, 9 assists, and 9 points. That is the that's a tough one. That's a tough look. I mean, you're one away from the triple-double.
He spurned me on my bet last night.
What was your bet? Was it?
It was a triple-double.
It was just a triple-double? Yep. Oh, that's brutal. I think I had him to get 23 points or something. I just don't like how they're using him.
You know, it doesn't look right.
He's facilitating, and that looks good. But why? I mean, he's always starting the possession at the top of the key now. Where is he on the block? Why aren't we getting him down on the block a little bit? Start the play off with him deep into the block.
It feels like they're trying to transition out of what they were doing last year when they're still waiting for everyone else to kind of catch up to that so they can let Jokic go back to what he was doing. And it's just not looking right. And even I say the bench looked a little better than the starters did yesterday outside of Gordon and MPJ.
Yeah, Gordon, I'm loving his game. That's his game. No more threes, though. Stop taking the threes, dude. You're not hitting them. But he's scoring in the paint. He's delivering several assists to Joker just by getting down in the paint. Joker's going to find you. How many dunks did Gordon have last night? That was the positive. Porter looks like he's kind of getting right. He had 18 points. He was 4 of 8 from the three-point line. Jamal Murray, it's still going to take some time.
I'm seeing the flashes, though.
There's flashes. He had 8 quick points in the first, and those were the flashes, and then the rest of the game was kind of rough. He played 27 minutes. It doesn't feel like he played 27 minutes, though. Just the way, I don't know. Again, it's just...
He's usually the first one subbed out,
yeah.
It looks like, so he's getting a lot of extra bench time. But, again, it's like you said, it's going to take probably about a month for him to get back to where we want him to be.
Well, and then you just have freaking Anthony Simmons just go off. He had 29 points. He was 7 of 12 from the three-point line. Like, the heat checks, he made like 3 heat checks after two quick points, and then boom, he just starts throwing it up, and they're all going in. 2-2 to start the season. They have the Lakers tomorrow night. It'll be an ESPN game. That's, again, you think that's going to be a win, but you're like, oh, is that going to be the game where the Lakers get it right, get it figured out? I can't imagine, right? Hopefully not. B-Rad, and here I thought the NBA couldn't possibly be more unbearable to watch. A Joker musical sounds like a reasonable alternative. Report, he sent me this. Stephen A. Smith to host Manning Cast style NBA broadcast this season. Is that real?
I did see that, I think.
Ugh.
I'm not a huge Stephen A. fan anyway.
I get why he's
I used to like him when I was younger just because of his reactions, but the more I watch him, the more it just feels like he's given a card.
Yeah.
Like, Stephen, this is your argument.
Yes.
Don't stray from it.
I get those argument shows that are just, they are constructed to be an argument, like Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, like that is supposed to be an argument. They have to disagree. Like, they can't possibly disagree on that many items every
single day.
No, and
then the next day they're on opposite sides of it.
Yes, and so those there's outlets in Denver, too, where we're trying to get these writers and broadcasters that are just contrarian to everything to go the opposite way. That stuff gets found out. It does. And I'm not watching that. I'll watch the Joker musical over that.
The Jokic musical?
Yeah, the Jokic musical. I'd watch a musical with him in it. A Joker musical. Oh, my. With that same... What? It's a sequel, but it's going to be way different. Why do we need musicals?
I could see it working in a way if it's like a psychological, you know, inside the mind of the Joker. And
I just want to see Joker go beat up Batman or try to beat up Batman and then get into trouble. And Batman's beating him up and could kill him, but then he doesn't kill him, and then that's it.
And he tells a joke.
Tells a joke at the end, and then they laugh hysterically. 26 minutes after the hour... Is this it for Nathaniel Hackett? Is his time running out for Hackett? And if I hear one more, leave him in London. Everybody's saying it. You're not, like, creative. Come up with something better. Leave him in London. Don't let him get on the plane. How many times have you heard that in the last, like, 3 days?
Seen it quite a bit. Every Denver Broncos post today has been
leave him in London
or keep Russ over there.
Keep Russ over there in London. Ha 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 ha. I'm being creative. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day: who would you be more comfortable trading, Bradley Chubb or Jerry Jeudy? We got this text here from the Windsor Mill Tavern, some old friends of ours, just texting on the text line. Neither. Why is this even being discussed? I'd rather trade Hackett. Well, that's not going to happen. I'd rather have the best coach in the NFL, the best quarterback in the NFL, right? If you'd rather something, you're going to go all in there. You might have. Why would you put Bradley Chubb up there? Are you re-signing him? Are you re-signing him? And if the answer is no, then you trade him today, right now, because it makes zero sense to have him on this team.
You need draft picks.
You need draft picks. And Jerry Jeudy, I'm done with Jerry Jeudy, but I think Bradley Chubb's going to give you way more value at this stage. 27 minutes after the hour. That's the Method Flow Products poll question. We'll get to more Broncos on the other side. Also, my Zvi Brewing Player of the Week. We'll get to that. Brendan Vogt will join me. We'll talk some Nuggets and so much more. You're not going to want to miss it. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Got a big event coming up on November 5th. Battleground Pro Wrestling presents November Pain at the Greeley Rec Center. Doors open at 5:30. Former WWE star Brian Kendrick will be taking on Gino Told You So Rivera in the main event. I believe we're going to have Gino on the show next week, so it's going to be exciting. Wrestlers from New Mexico, California, Indiana, Oklahoma, Nevada, and Colorado will be there. Seating is limited, so make sure you get your presale tickets now at BattlegroundProWrestling.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's Battleground Pro Wrestling. 33 minutes after the hour, we got Brendan Vogt coming up. We're going to talk all things Nuggets and how frustrating of a loss that was for Denver. And are there any kind of alarming signs as we start this season? We'll talk to Brendan about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ali Farouk-Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, the Nuggets lose big last night in Portland, and we'll see if they can bounce back coming up tomorrow night against the Los Angeles Lakers. That should be a get-right kind of game with the way the Lakers are playing. Brendan Vogt joining us from DNVR Nuggets. Brendan, my man. Okay, let's talk about Joker first. I mean, 999. If you took the triple-double, you were a very sad panda last night, my friend.
Yeah, always a good note, by the way, when the first question starts with a sigh. That's pretty apt for last night's game. Yeah, we could talk about Jokic, who had a weird game. I'll call it a straight-up bad game for his standard, man. I thought he didn't look at the rim a ton, and it's funny. I mean, when he's doing that and they're cruising in the first half, it's very easy to praise his insistence on running an egalitarian offense, his unselfishness, and all of that. And I think that's fair. Then when he's not looking at the rim and they're losing, it morphs into a criticism. But I don't think that's inconsistent. I think it's fair to look at spots in that game, particularly some moments in the third quarter, and say, hey, Nurkic can't guard you. And so you don't have to do this all game, but this is a great two-minute stretch for you to put your stamp on it, for you to dictate the result. We've seen him do it so many times, and he just kind of didn't last night. So to say that's why they lost would be too much, but it certainly is a reason why they didn't win that game.
Now, again, I know it's a small sample size, four games in, and not every game in instances felt like that Portland game for sure. But, Brennan, sometimes it feels like Nikola Jokic wants to run the offense, not, if this makes sense, not have the offense run through him, where they're setting him up at the top of the key, whatever. I just don't see him setting up in certain possessions, certain plays. Just get down into the paint, get close to that basket. I haven't seen that so much. What's is that more or less Michael Malone just really wants to see how Joker utilizes his weapons in this first portion of the season, or what's going on there?
I think that's on Joker, right? Whether you see that as a good thing or a bad thing, that's his choice. And Malone certainly, you know, there are a lot of ways you can coach. One of them is not telling the best player in the world how to approach the game, right? That's going to be Yoke's call. But I think he is a little too concerned with making sure everyone's involved right now. In the long run, that may very well be beneficial, you know, but it's frustrating in the meantime. He's definitely tired after two seasons of doing it night in and night out. So that's all understandable. But again, it's the lesson it seemed like he learned in those MVP seasons is that when Denver needs him to be, he is virtually unguardable. And it's even harder to stop him when he's got all these weapons on the floor. So it's not that he has to score 30 points a night, but come out, set the tone in the beginning. Come out and set the tone in the beginning of the second half where the team struggles so much. There are moments where he can still be himself. And he seems content to sort of not do that right now. He might be right in the long run, but it is a reason why they're 2-2 and not 4-0.
Brennan Vogt joining us from DNVR Nuggets. Defense was pretty rough. Even in the wins, it's been kind of a tough go for this defense. But my goodness, I mean, that was hopefully we get better. But that was the idea with Calvin Booth and some of these off-season moves was to get this defense better. What's going on there?
Great question. Well, there's a couple elements. First of all, they made a lot of improvements. That's good. There are still a lot of negative defenders on this roster. You know, Jokic does a lot of things well defensively. Deflection, steals, defending the rim, not one of them. Jamal Murray hobbled right now. He's not defending very well. Michael Porter Jr., we know that's a whole adventure of itself. So, and then Bones Highland, Jeff Green, DeAndre Jordan, none of these guys are defenders in 2022. So, there's still that to work around. As far as the new guys, you do have to – it is about chemistry and communication. And I was worried about the defense in preseason when I asked KCP about championship habits. And he could have taken it to three or four habits they already have. He chose right away to take it to a spot that he felt they needed to improve. He was like, the communication is not there. So I still have hope, and I didn't expect it to look good to start the season. But boy, does it look really bad right now. And to say that's cause for concern is perfectly fair.
Well, the kind of the silver lining, the positive last night, I love when Aaron Gordon just plays down low. I mean, good things happen when he is getting inside of the paint. Joker's going to find him. That was the positive. I mean, he was absolutely a monster last night for this team. And if you compare that with solid performances by Joker and eventually Jamal Murray, I mean, look out. This team could be lethal. But 26 points for Gordon.
There are elements through this 2-2 start that are just as encouraging as the defense is discouraging, right? One of them is the way Porter fits in, which is good so far. One is what you just mentioned, which is AG, with one exception in these four games, showing a good understanding of what makes him valuable on this roster. Him taking the right approach is awesome. I'm going to call him out a little bit defensively. I think it's been a year and a half since we've seen him look like a stalwart on that end, like a real bona fide, you know, second all-team defense candidate kind of guy. It's a little too easy to score on him one-on-one right now. And you could say you're calling AG out, but not Jokic or Porter. Well, we know about them. We know their liabilities at times. We know AG was brought in here to help shore that end up. So I could see a little more from him defensively, but that was the right approach last night and a sneaky fun matchup doing it against Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I mean, defensive key matchups, you just want to see that hopefully pick up throughout the course of the season. But you mentioned Michael Porter Jr. too. I've always said this for the past few years about Porter. I just want to see some oomph, some aggressiveness from this guy. Just by the way he maybe goes for a rebound or plays defense. I'm seeing that a little bit more. I mean, 18 points, the shot's getting there. I love it. But I'm starting to see a little bit more of an aggressive Michael Porter Jr., maybe a little more confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, I think at his best, some of the ways he can help this team win are not just shooting, crashing the offensive glass, being a better defensive rebounder. He has the potential to be an elite rebounder. His nose for the ball is insane. He could box out a little better. But there are little things he's doing. He hit the floor in Utah for a loose ball. He's shown Michael Malone he's trying defensively, and the errors are still there. And the errors are so loud, but they're so loud, it can drown out at times the improvements. It hasn't all been bad. And for as much as this has been an up-and-down season, Porter's been kind of steady, which seems like a weird way to describe him. I think it's one of the bright spots of the season so far. His approach has been good. My biggest Porter note is let's get him more shots. He's shooting 50% from three on 8 attempts per game. I think in those third quarters when no one can buy a bucket, let's get Porter involved, right? They should get Porter involved. So we'll see how that goes, but I've liked his approach so far.
Just a couple of other housekeeping notes on the Nuggets. You know, Jamal Murray kind of started out quick and then slowed down, obviously. Isn't that to be expected with Jamal, though, right now? I mean, I'm kind of thinking, man, we might not see what the real version of Jamal Murray is going to be, maybe for a month. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Could be longer. You know, notorious slow starter anyway. Hasn't played in a long time. I think you can see him. I think the game is moving fast for him right now, and I think he would say as much. The decision making, like his usage rate is really high. The ball is sticking with him a lot, which is fine when he's typical Jamal, but right now he's searching for what to do. You know, at times, at the expense of this team operating at the highest level it can right now, just that sounds like I'm blaming Jamal. I'm not. Like you said, this all makes sense with where he's at in the recovery. But it's interesting. You know, the Clippers have chosen to just bring Kawhi off the bench, and they'll bring him back that way. And Denver might be better off in terms of wins and losses with Bruce Brown in the starting lineup. But there's a philosophical question here. Does Denver just want to rip the Band-Aid off and say, our best version of ourselves includes Jamal with the ball in his hands? Let's eat some losses in the meantime and get to that place as quick as we can. I don't know what the right approach is, but it's definitely a story through four games.
Yeah, no question about it. Malone has some decisions to make how he utilizes this roster and tries to get those guys back into their old form, especially Jamal Murray. How about the bench? You know, you've seen some good stuff from him. You've seen some bad stuff, kind of like Bones Highland. You've seen some greatness from him, and you've seen some times where you just go, what is he doing there, man?
Sure. You know what this bench is missing? DeMarcus Cousins. I'm not surprised to see him not on the roster. And it's really important to note he's not on anyone's roster. There are reasons for this, but it's hard not to miss him watching DeAndre Jordan, who, like, I don't want to say, it's not like he's underperforming. It's 2022. You know, there's just only so much you can expect to get out of him. Doesn't move super well at this stage. The motor's pretty low. So you see a lot of Bones Highland, I think, taking it into the teeth of the defense and trying to force things, trying not just to jack up threes, but do damage at the rim. And I think he could use a little help. By the end of the season, maybe those Jamal plus Bones minutes look better. The Bones plus Porter minutes are really working. But when it's Bones trying to make it all happen by himself, it's looked ugly so far. And considering the high expectations, I think you can say it's a slow start for Bones.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair to say. Last one for you. Christian Brown, no points last night, but he did have 3 rebounds. I like this guy, man. I'm curious to see how they use him and once we get like a month or two into the season. But to me, I'm noticing Coach Malone, a lot of the players, they're trying to coach this guy up. To me, it seems like they view this guy as being an impact player as soon as this season.
Yeah, you like him. So does Michael Malone, right? I mean, there's not a rookie on this team, including the best players on this team, that ingratiated themselves as quickly as Brown did. I think he's a part of this rotation. possibly at the expense of Davon Reed minutes going forward. And that took two games. So that's a record for Malone for sure, who I think has shown a willingness and a creativeness. I don't know if he's having a great season per se, but the knock on him often is being stubborn. That hasn't been the case this year. He's tried a lot of stuff, including Christian Brown, who he just makes stuff happen. He just plays so hard. And it's weird that that's such a valuable trait at the professional level. You wish you could say that about everyone, but you can't. And you can about Christian. Defensively, on the glass, in the hustle categories, I think this is a guy that's played himself onto the court for the rest of the season, so long as things don't go horribly.
He just doesn't really look like a rookie. I'm not saying that he's like a great player or maybe not good yet. I don't know. But there's something about the way he approaches the game and approaches the floor. He just doesn't look lost or confused. I remember watching Michael Porter Jr. in his first few stints with the Nuggets. It's like he's completely lost out there. Bones kind of baby-stepped his way into things last year. Brown kind of just looks like he's really comfortable being an NBA basketball player.
High school champion, collegiate champion, national champion. He's been on the floor for high leverage minutes on some high level teams. And so I don't think he's afraid. A little bit of yips around the rim. We saw he couldn't hit the three in the preseason, but his confidence is growing and he's hitting some of those shots now. So yeah, I think he is unafraid. I think he's coachable. I think he's listening to these guys, seeking out advice. I think he's a pro, man. There's probably a limit on how good he'll be in the NBA in terms of being a scoring option and all of that. But this is an NBA player, and it's pretty wild to think we know that four games in.
Brendan, always appreciate your insight, my man. Are the Lakers going to pull off an upset tomorrow night? What do you think?
No, I think Denver gets back on track here. You know, remember that Golden State game? The vibes are just as good as they are bad right now.
No doubt.
This team can be much better. The Lakers stink. But there's always something when these two teams play, isn't there? Here's how I'd frame it. It'd be a terrible one to lose.
No doubt. On ESPN, too, nationally televised. So maybe the Joker should go get another new haircut and just go off tomorrow night. I think that would be the best thing. Maybe the headband.
A headband. Whatever it takes, man, because when he wants to, he can change the complexion of any of these games.
No doubt. Brendan, my man, appreciate you. Love what you do at DNVR Nuggets, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
All right, man. We'll talk soon.
Nuggets lose 135-110. A rough night for the Mile High Crew. 11:52 the time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. George Payton, how hot is the seat he's sitting on? Is it getting warmer at this point? We'll talk about that next. We'll be right back.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Well, this thing started off pretty solid for George Payton. I mean, he comes in, takes over for John Elway, and he kind of says, all right, we're going to let Vic Fangio work for 1 year and we'll just see what happens. I don't think anybody really freaked out at that option going forward. But, you know, he does good in the draft. We all kind of heard that he was Mr. Draft, and Patrick Surtain, Javonte Williams, the draft was working. And then a couple of re-signings, and we thought, man, Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton, okay, he's locking up these guys. Boy. Since the start of this season, maybe even dating back to Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Locke days, George Payton has had some blemishes, some big ones. Is George Payton, is his seat hotter than Nathaniel Hackett's? We'll talk about that in the second hour. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.